This archived broadcast of Janet Meffer Today is brought to you by TriStar Pictures' A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, based on the true story, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Rhys, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters November 22nd.
This is Janet Meffer Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it!
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Meffer.
Welcome, everybody. Well, there was a video clip that went viral recently in which a young man at a Turning Point USA event asked founder Charlie Kirk and co-host Rob Smith how homosexuality helps conservatives win the culture war. And he went on to ask them why they have advocated for accepting homosexuality as normative in the conservative movement. Now, Smith, who is apparently a homosexual, brushed the question aside. But Charlie Kirk, who claims to be a Christian and a conservative, responded by saying, "Honestly, I don't care what two consenting adults do, and your hyper focus on it is kind of weird." More and more, we are hearing from so-called conservatives who claim to be Christians that homosexuality is no big deal. And what's even weirder is some of these same activists are now saying what we really have to do is focus in on things like the radical transgender movement and oppose trends like drag queen story hours and chemical castration for children who are confused about which sex they are. But as we saw this week with another record number of LGBT activists winning elections across this country, now is not the time to capitulate on any sexual radicalism. And in fact, we wouldn't even have a radical transgender movement unless the homosexual activists had launched and supported the cause. Are we still fighting a culture war over this issue, or aren't we? We're going to get some thoughts on it today from Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth, about homosexuality. I love when you're here, Peter. Great to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Janet. Thanks so much.
I'll pose this question to you. Are we still fighting a culture war against LGBT radicalism, or are we not? What is going on here?
Well, absolutely we are, Janet. And although there are many conservatives now, and I think this is a lot affected by the libertarians infused into the conservative movement, they're pretending that the sort of the homosexual culture war, or should I say the culture war over homosexuality and the so-called gay agenda, is over. And now it's just about transgenderism. You'll notice they don't like talking about so-called gay marriage anymore.
Nope.
And I think this is really wrong on so many levels, but it's entirely disingenuous, especially when you got guys like Charlie Kirk, who, you know, has a Christianity in his bio and, you know, talks about being principled. I mean, you don't get to pick and choose as a conservative, but especially as a Christian, which issues you're going to deal with and which ones you're going to ignore or actually go on the other side of.
Yeah, and we've seen quite a few people do this. We've seen people like Guy Benson, I mean, people who are actually gay themselves. We've seen people like Tammy Bruce, who's a lesbian. We've seen people who support them in the conservative movement who don't think it's any big deal. How is it that this is now the narrative that homosexuality, we're beyond that? It's not a big deal. It's not a big sin. Nobody should get worked up about it. Just grow up and deal with it. There are other people than you who think differently and live alternative lifestyles. Why in the world is this happening in the conservative movement right now, do you think?
Okay, I think there are several explanations. One is the attitude, oh, that battle's over. This is not a hill to die on. Although that's illogical, because we could say the same thing about abortion. Right?
Sure, sure.
I mean, the abortion decision was 50 years ago, or how many years ago was it now? And the so-called gay marriage decision, Obergefell, was not even 5 years ago.
Yes.
So why would we quit on one and yet fight, you know, very principled, and that's great, I'm all for that, on life, but ignore homosexuality and so-called gay marriage? I think another one is sort of the alignment of Republicans, this idea of the big tent. Hey, we want to, you know, well, let's work on what we have in common. And so you see this phenomenon of, I'm really getting tired of it. Fox News, you know, the number one person to put forward now as a conservative, it seems, is a homosexual conservative.
Mm.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Very.
And
yes.
Although I think it's very much like the black conservatives, although it's entirely different. I love it when they bring forth black conservatives because there's nothing that skin color has nothing to do with ideology. Homosexuality, especially the gay movement, is really about ideology.
Sure.
And it's about, for the gay activists, it's about crushing people who disagree with their ideology. And so for conservatives to join that, what really is a progressive revolution, and we're now past 50 years of the in-your-face Stonewall gay revolution, Janet, for a conservative to join that and then to insult our intelligence further by saying, I'm doing that in the name of conservatism, is really an outrage.
It's really an outrage, especially when we have headlines in the news every single day showing us how radical this movement is. I mean, we have this story in the news right now about this little boy, James Younger. People have been talking about this case in Texas, the mom and dad going through a divorce. There's a custody battle. The mother is a pediatrician who says that this little boy's name is really Luna and he wants to become a girl and she wants to help him transition. The father is fighting this tooth and nail. When he's with the father, he dresses as a little boy and doesn't want to be a girl. So he's become kind of the poster child here over the issue of sexually transitioning children under the age of 18, which is horrifying. So you have that issue. You have the issue of so-called same-sex marriage and whether or not Christians and businesses are allowed to say, I don't want to participate in communicating that message. I mean, we see this kind of radicalism in the Equality Act coming down the pike. Now we've got all of these LGBT candidates who have been elected just this week, about 100 of them. I mean, this is, in some ways, Peter, I look at all of this and I say the radicalism is only getting warmed up here, folks. This is not the time to capitulate. This is the time to figure out what you're going to do about it and not capitulate one whit on any of it.
Right. And let's remember, as you said earlier, Janet, it's all the same revolution. All these so-called gay candidates will support the transsexual agenda.
Sure.
And vice versa. And you see the radicalism. In fact, the gay organizations like the Human Rights Campaign, which is the leading homosexual lobby group, they went out of their way to, they actually apologized to the transgender movement for not doing enough on transgenderism. They're more radical on transgenderism now than ever before. So this is spurious, this idea that you can you know, back off and just tackle the transgender issue. And I think that's pretty much where the conservatives are now. The Republicans have largely given up on many aspects of the homosexual agenda. And, you know, they're fighting on the transgender agenda. But I'm wondering if that's the logic. Will 10 years from now, will they say, well, we can't really fight the transgender agenda anymore?
Right. We're going to concentrate on the pedophile agenda now. I mean, at the rate things are going.
Up. We always back up while the homosexual transgender lobby is always aggressively moving forward. Yeah. I think we just got to say, look, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Yes, we oppose all aspects of this incredibly lunatic transgender agenda, but we can also step up our game against so-called gay marriage. We need to overturn Obergefell just like we want to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
We have to fight all these battles.
It's all wrong. And the thing that drives me crazy is you have writers like Chad Felix Green in The Federalist trying to say, well, you know, he's a homosexual and he's allegedly a conservative, but he thinks this whole thing with trying to do gender transitions for kids, that's a bridge too far. We need to fight this radical agenda. And I'm thinking to myself, what is the substantive difference between the LGBT movement of old, the Stonewall, and where we are now? It's all the same movement, Peter. Do people not know this? I mean, I feel like I've been speaking till I'm blue in the face about it. I know you have as well, but people actually two separate movements.
Case,
they're not.
Yes, you're right. In that case, it's self-rationalization. Remember, whenever you have a homosexual advocate, activist, the biggest driver in their push is to rationalize their sinful lifestyle. So I think Chad Felix Green is the one who talks about, you know, we need the good, normal gays to speak out against the transgender issue. Well, Chad, what about the ex-gay movement,
right,
which, by the way, the homosexual transgender lobby is trying to crush? What about all the changed movement, all these people who are coming out of homosexuality? Why would we talk about normal homosexuality
when we see
people leaving the lifestyle?
That's right. Well, and why would you allow people who are in that lifestyle to set the agenda within conservatism for what we ought to fight and what we shouldn't fight? We have a very divided movement, and they're saying in the name of unity, let's just put this issue aside. How can we? This is the biggest issue coming down the pike for Christians. The biggest one.
Right. Yeah, and what happens is, and we've talked about this many times, Janet, is whenever there's sort of a dialogue, and here I'm talking about the gay conservatives versus the, you know, the, I guess you would say the straight conservatives, usually the gays win. And so what you see is on a show like Tucker Carlson, for example, I love Tucker Carlson, but he says he's against groupthink, but I see him totally buying in to gay groupthink because he always has Tammy Bruce on, who's a lesbian.
Yep.
You know, he'll always have the gay conservatives. I don't think he's ever featured an ex-gay on
the
show.
Well, that's a problem. We're going to take a very quick break. Peter LaBarber with us on Janet Mefford Today. We'll come right back. Don't go away. Every day, babies in their mother's wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasound sessions in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the baby's heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I'm sitting there, and the lady is giving me my ultrasound, she's like making these weird faces. She's like, it's two. I just start crying. I can't.
And sometimes the blessing is doubled. Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today to help save 400 babies by the end of the year? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help save 5 babies from abortion. And now through a match, your gift will be doubled. To donate, dial 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com.
From TriStar Pictures comes A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, based on the true story of the real-life friendship between Fred Rogers and a cynical journalist, showing that kindness can triumph.
You love broken people like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay.
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reese. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters November 22nd. More information is available online at resources.abeautifulday.movie.
If you're looking for adventure, serving as a volunteer on the Mercy Ship is an adventure like no other. And you'll be serving on the largest non-governmental hospital ship in the world, providing free care to some of the world's poorest people. Whether it's performing a surgery, cleaning the deck, or transporting a patient to a recovery center, every day you'll be making a difference in the lives of struggling people. Begin your adventure today. Connect with us at mercyships.org. It's an adventure of a lifetime.
We are back on Janet Mefford Today. Great to have you with us. Would you please help us here at Janet Mefford Today save 400 babies by the end of the year? You can if you help the great ministry of Preborn with a gift of $140. You can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help save 5 babies from abortion. What's really exciting is now there is a match. And if you can give today, your gift will be doubled. Here's the number, 855-402-BABY, 855-402-2229, or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. Thank you so much. Peter LaBarber from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is my guest, and we are talking about whether or not there still is a culture war over homosexuality. When we look across the spectrum, we're seeing more and more gay conservatives or alleged conservatives who are supportive of homosexuality or same-sex marriage, and we're seeing this blurring of the lines now for a pro-family party like the Republican Party or pro-family movement like the conservative movement, Peter. It's very odd. But I remember, and I just want to touch on this briefly, but I remember last year, one of the things that came up with Mass Resistance, the pro-family group in Massachusetts, and also with you, was what happened at CPAC. I think it was Amy Contrada from Mass Resistance who said CPAC is beginning to transition. So, I mean, is that part of the equation as well, that just as a movement, they're getting more and more pro-LGBT?
Well, I think the big tent idea of letting homosexuality into the big tent goes even past CPAC. But yes, you're right. And again, this is all being done in the name of conservatism. It's sort of a libertarian conservatism, so-called. But I, you know, it's really interesting. I don't see the libertarians stepping up for the ex-gays, who are the right of people, of ex-gays and parents of children to pursue pro-heterosexual therapy.
Right.
We have the homosexual movement trying to crush ex-gay, pro-heterosexual change therapy. I don't see the libertarians stepping up and saying, hey, wait, they have the freedom to pursue whatever type of lifestyle they want. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy there, Janet, but I think it comes back to this dialogue. The gay conservatives really are a threat to, I would say, biblical truth more than anybody, because they're doing it all in the name of this nice-sounding, wholesome conservatism. And so you have this guy, for example, another homosexual conservative, Dave Rubin, who does an interview show.
Right.
And I'll never forget, he interviewed Dennis Prager, who's like a moralist, a very public moralist on the radio. And he asked Prager, would you tell somebody cannot, you know, should not, biblically, should not engage in homosexual behavior? And instead of just saying, yes, I would tell him that, Prager kind of danced around the issue. And so there's this phenomenon of when you're in the dialogue with the proud, open homosexual, there's a tendency to pull back and pull out of that fight. And really, we can't pull out of this fight because it's a battle for truth.
Well, you remind me, too, something that is very important for people to remember. I wrote about this on my blog several years ago, but we also have the same problem in evangelicalism. I mean, it was Russell Moore, the head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, along with Dr. Al Mohler at the Southern Baptist Convention, who denounced reparative therapy several years ago. And I took them to task because I said, even if you would prefer biblical counseling to reparative therapy, the point is still the same, which is once the activists eradicate reparative therapy, secular talk therapy, not conversion therapy, because there is no such thing, but secular talk therapy, once that is eradicated, they will come after your biblical counseling next. So in the name of freedom and autonomy, Christians ought to be standing firmly on the side of secular talk therapy. That's why we are so strongly in favor of it, because we're in favor of freedom. And yet we can't even get people ostensibly who are in the Christian community to get on board with this, because they don't seem to see the bigger issue, and or they're capitulating themselves.
Yeah, it's a sort of manipulation that goes on. I used to call it the satanic evangelization plan, whereas we had friendship evangelism among Christians, you know, get to know. I never really liked it because it seemed to me it was kind of sneaky. You know, you get to know the person, and then like after five meetings, you're like, well, would you like to become a Christian?
Pow. Yeah.
You know, pow. So now you have this phenomenon of, you know, befriending, and it's great to interact with people, but I just, what happens is the gay activists and the gay advocates, including the conservative gay advocates, are winning those battles. And for example, remember the interview with Megyn Kelly when she was on Fox News with Guy Benson? And she was acting like, oh, guys coming out as gay was one of the most, I mean, she practically was crying on the set. It was such a wonderful thing for her. And it's like, oh, come on, you know, this is just, you know, God is not a Republican. There's no caveat in the Bible for, you know, in Romans 1 for, except if you're a Republican, then it's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Exactly. It's basic morality. It's basic morality. And so few people I hear these days are really framing it as a moral issue. It doesn't become good behavior simply because you had a Supreme Court decision in which five progressives invented this concept of dignity that is nowhere discussed in the Constitution. Are we all insane? I mean, this is not going to end well. And now you've got all of these fights over adoption and whether or not Trump can protect faith-based agencies in other cities like in Pennsylvania or shutting them down. I mean, all of the war that's going on, we're in a culture war, Peter. And yet it seems like the good guys largely have laid down their weapons and they're saying, forget it. It's over. I'm not going to fight. Let's move on to other things. It's bizarre to me. Just bizarre.
And it's all about truth, and we have to stand for truth. And yes, I'm glad that there are homosexuals who are, you know, have become more conservative on a lot of issues, and they're going to vote for Trump, and that's wonderful. But that doesn't mean you compromise on the truth about sexual morality in the Bible. And remember Charlie Kirk, I think he was also interviewing with Dave Rubin, if I recall correctly. He said he wouldn't have a problem with gay adoption.
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
Charlie Kirk, I mean, he's a leading young conservative, and he has no problem with placing children in homes which are going to be denied intentionally either a mother or a father, and have homosexuals as the most important role model in their young lives. He's okay with that? I don't get it.
Well, then he's probably okay with what happened this week, and I want to talk about this a little bit. Big victories for homosexuals and transgenders this week. More than 75% of openly LGBT candidates who are running this week and off your elections won their seats. 112 seats, 106 Democrats, one Republican, one independent, and four with undeclared party affiliations, and also six openly transgender candidates were elected across the country, including Danica Rome, formerly Dan Rome, has become the first openly transgender person to be reelected to a state legislature. I mean, this is massive culture war victory. And when you look at the Victory Fund, you know how they were called the LGBT, I think, Q Victory Fund. Now they're just the Victory Fund. But I was looking at this mission, Peter, on their website, and they said the LGBTQ Victory Fund works to change the face and voice of America's politics and achieve equality for LGBTQ Americans by increasing the number of openly LGBTQ officials at all levels of government. Peter, what does achieving equality even mean anymore? They got marriage redefined. They've won every battle. What more needs to be done to achieve equality? The word means nothing anymore.
Yeah, it's not equality. It's radical egalitarianism, which is, for example, pretending that two dudes getting quote unquote married is like our marriages, a marriage between a man and a woman, which naturally produces children.
Yes.
I mean, that's ludicrous. So that's cultural Marxism. That's radical egalitarianism. You know, I saw a story the other day, Janet, two guys, it was a homosexual website, and it was two guys, and it said they're, quote, expecting their first child. See how they
steal
the language? No, I'm sorry. No, you're acquiring a child by other means because you have to. You're not, don't pretend that this is like the natural family, but that's what they're doing.
That's one step beyond the other irritation that I have, and I apologize to anybody who feels differently in the audience, but when men say we're pregnant when their wife is pregnant, that has always bugged me. You're both expecting...
Well, add another man and it bugs you more.
Right, exactly. But I mean, you're expecting a baby because it's your baby, but you, my friend, are not pregnant. Your wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
yeah.
And you know what? I'll tell you something else. When you are looking at all these battles over men who believe they're women, infiltrating female sports and crushing the women, they have no chance of winning any sort of athletic event if a guy is competing against them. And you see people like Danica Rome, who just won this seat. And I look at these men dressed up like women, and I will tell you, Peter, I don't think I'm the only woman who feels this way, because I've talked to other women about that. We feel offended. We feel offended. Like he can do what he wants. We're not trying to take away his ability to have long hair and put on makeup. But it's like, you're not a woman. You are not
woman. It's gay blackface. Come on. Blackface is wrong. You're denigrating and mocking African Americans. What about denigrating and mocking women? Setting up these very weird, stereotypical, over-the-top, quote-unquote women of, I guess, what gay activist guys, you know, think women are like, you know, with these
right.
gaudy clothes and this weird hairdos. I mean, it's just an insult to women. And now we want to promote that to kids in libraries.
I know.
Drag queen story hours.
I know.
I mean, come on. And yet this is the agenda. And we see drag queen story hours, and they'll be in thousands of libraries before they're done, because they never back up, whereas we do. I mean, where are the people who are saying, yeah, we have to overturn Obergefell and return marriage to one man, one woman? We had more than 30 states that passed constitutional amendments or statewide laws to protect the definition of marriage as one man, one woman. And now the conservative movement, seemingly, and the Republican Party, I guess, have largely given up. I mean, it was that easy? It's over because a Supreme Court decision went the other way?
It continues to stick in my craw. I was talking to a family activist, a state family activist, not too long ago, who is now trying to move that in that direction and try to mobilize people in Tennessee to fight back and to fight for real marriage. And I'm glad to see, but that's exactly what the issue is, Peter. We have not had people fight back when they might have been able to make a difference. Not to mention the fact that you had a Supreme Court decision that just imposed this on all these states who have the constitutional right to reject it, don't they? Because they can determine right. what marriage is in their own states. So,
well, we have sanctuary cities all over the country.
Right.
You know, how about a sanctuary city for real marriage? Although I don't know if it's wise to imitate the left's lawlessness.
No, but, right. But I hear you.
It really is. It's a phenomenon, and we've got to deal with it. And I think Trump teaches us that you got to fight back.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back, I want to talk about what you think some of these LGBT candidates are going to be all about supporting when they enter office. We'll come back with Peter LaBarbera on Janet Mefford Today. We'll be back. This archived broadcast of Janet Mefford Today is brought to you by TriStar Pictures' A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, based on the true story, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reeves, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters November 22nd. We are back on Janet Mefford Today. Is the culture war over when it comes to homosexuality? It would seem so if you look at some of these allegedly gay conservatives or conservatives who support homosexuality and or same-sex marriage. There's just a lot of capitulation. Peter LaBarber from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is my guest this hour. And we're talking a lot about all these different issues that are popping up, not the least of which is the massive victories that we saw this week, Peter, with these LGBT candidates across the country. Is this just a matter of people who are breaking ground and they're forging new territory and they're breaking free of old stereotypes and they're just going to be like every other American voted to office? It's just that the prejudice is now gone and we should all rejoice about this. Or should we be prepared for massive, more radical LGBT activism from these candidates? Is it possible that you could have all of these candidates and they will leave, right, they will leave their sexual proclivities out of it?
Yeah, right. Okay, well, let's just do the sexual sin substitution test. Let's say, because homosexuality is a sexual sin. Let's say, what about adulterous candidates? Boy, imagine if we had a headline, 25 openly adulterous candidates win election. That's how you've got to understand this. They are using politics to change morality, to subvert truth. Wow. And they know that politics is a massive lever, and they also know that they have the media behind their backs always, always. And Janet, can I say another thing about which I forgot about the problem with gay conservatives,
yeah,
so-called?
Yeah.
Almost to a man, every single one of them, especially those who grew up in some form of the Christian church, claim to be quote-unquote gay Christians. And so there you have... Yeah. They're also going to be pushing to a conservative audience the idea that you can be openly homosexual and a faithful Christian. That's what Guy Benson claims to be. Now, I say he may claim to be a Christian, but he's obviously not a faithful Christian because he's now in a marriage with, so-called, with another man. And that is, there is no way to reconcile that with truth from the Bible. And so all these so-called gay conservatives end up, they're working on us and they're trying to say, no, you have to accept that we're gay conservatives, we're gay Christians, and it ends up being a very large force against the truth of the Bible.
All I can say is God's Voice Conference 2020. Can I get an amen? April
yes,
17th
amen.
And 18th. We're going to do it again this year, actually next year. But we really want people to come because we're going to be talking about all of this. A biblical response to LGBTQ plus tyranny will be our focus this year. But now more than ever, right, Peter?
Yeah, and back to your question, Janet. Absolutely, they're going to be pushing for a radical agenda. And at the top of that agenda is going to be the Equality Act, both federally and now they're pushing state and local versions of it.
Yep.
And this is the most serious pro-homosexual, pro-transgender legislation ever. It would, it basically, in the federal law, that's the one, I've read the federal bill. What is it, H.R. 5?
Yes.
I think it's H.R. 5. You know, it specifically overrides the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which would basically say LGBTQ, quote, rights supersede our First Amendment religious freedom,
yeah,
which is crazy, but they put that in the bill. There's another thing in the bill, Janet, in the Equality Act, the so-called LGBTQ Equality Act. It says there's a provision in there which would basically wipe out Christian adoption because it says you could not discriminate in adoption agencies, which means every single Christian or other kind of moral-minded adoption agency which does not want to place children in homosexual-led households could be sued under this bill if it were to become law.
Well, something else that is concerning, we need to bring this up again. You have groups like the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, which has backed this idea of fairness for all. And it's basically saying, you know, kill us last, kind of the whole thing. You know, well, it is. It is. It's kind of like that where they say, well, let's find some kind of common ground between gay rights and religious freedom. Yeah, bad idea. I mean, we just need to nip
tell
this.
Jack Phillips.
Thank you.
Looking for common ground with Jack Phillips.
Right. Exactly.
They're still trying to destroy him.
Here's the common ground. They get everything. You get nothing. The end. I mean,
right.
That's your common ground right there. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
second-class status and give up your public Christianity,
sure,
which basically means don't live your life. You can crouch behind a few walls, but even there, you know there's going to be more and more litigation trying to force churches to perform homosexual so-called marriages. You saw Beto. O'Rourke, so-called Beto, what's his real name? Francis O'Rourke.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to take away the religious exemption under these laws for churches, and it was about that would not perform so-called gay marriages.
Yep.
So the Democrats are coming out of the closet in their war on people of faith and moral-minded people who oppose big LGBTQ.
They have to destroy Christianity. They really do. They won't be able to completely destroy Christianity, but that's really what it is, because there is a moral component to this that is largely unsaid in the media and so forth, but is the main issue. Don't you think that's really what it is? It's really a war in the heavenlies, if you want to say it that way and put it in Ephesians 6 context. That's what we're talking about here.
Yes. And insofar as conservative leaders pretend like the battle for homosexuality and truth is over, they are part of the problem, because if one side, the LGBTQ side, is screaming up the rooftops, give us everything gay and trans, and the conservatives are like, well, we're not going to talk about that, guess who is going to win?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Well, that's the problem. Here's another angle on this. This is really significant, and I don't know how many people were noticing this week. I put this out on Twitter. I know that you put it out on Twitter as well. Terry Bean, who is the co-founder of the Human Rights Campaign, there's a new update on him. He was arrested and charged back in 2014 with sex crimes and the alleged abuse of an unnamed minor. This is from LifeSite News. But now here's the update. They say this high-profile Democratic Party donor, who is also a homosexual and who was recently arrested for sodomy-related felonies, paid $200,000 to a 15-year-old boy to make sex abuse charges go away, court documents reveal. So this just came out. Keep in mind, and I want the audience to keep in mind, CNN, just a couple of weeks back, held a presidential forum on LGBT issues. It was the second one of the campaign season. They did so in partnership with the Human Rights Campaign. So now you have major, I don't know if you want to call them fake news organizations, at least, partnering with open radical activists to control the news, to control a town hall. Do you really think CNN is going to touch this story with a 10-foot pole? There's no way. They will never report on this. There will never be any digging. There will never be any investigation. Look what they're doing with the Epstein thing across the media spectrum. But I mean, this, it affects the information that people are able to get as well, Peter. There's such huge implications when the media and the gay activists are working together. They're not going to turn on each other. They're going to work together to advance the agenda. And that's something else we're up against.
Right. And Terry Bean was a co-founder of the Human Rights Campaign, the largest and most powerful homosexual, bisexual, transgender, so-called queer lobby group. And they use that word.
And they have scrubbed him, by the way. They have scrubbed him off the website.
Yeah. Yep. And have they apologized? Have they publicly apologized for giving him an award and for all their work? Are they giving the money back? Or are the Democrats giving the money back? I mean,
that's funny.
This whole thing is, you're absolutely right. And I do call them fake news. And I think Trump's a genius for getting that term out there. Because there is no more news on this issue that's objective. I mean, you would think that that would be a big story, that this huge Obama and Democratic bundler, this mega donor, has been basically paid the boy that he sodomized, apparently, $200,000 so that he wouldn't face a court, justice on this issue, basically, allegedly anyway. That's what we're talking about, and yet it's not a story. And my question is, Janet, is the conservative press going to go big with this story? I mean, let's start with the conservatives.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I think there are some good websites like LifeSite News, and we always do it on this show, but they're becoming fewer and fewer outlets that will touch this stuff. But if you don't, it just moves forward and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. That is my concern as a Christian. It's not that I enjoy this issue. I most decidedly do not. If I woke up tomorrow morning and never had to talk about it again, I would do a jig. But it is necessary to stand up when there is evil like this that is advancing, because I love this country and I love my kids and I love other people's kids. And I want to, as much as possible, hand down a country to them that is going to be friendly to them and not try to oppress them. And that's the thing that I think a lot of Christians don't understand. What are you setting your country up for if you don't fight at a moment when you actually have an ability to make a difference? We're going to pause for another quick break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about James Younger, this 7-year-old boy, and this big case happening in Texas right now. Peter LaBarber and I will come back right after this. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $249 for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com, and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Maybe I can just have my baby. It don't matter what nobody says.
This is the end of the story of a young mom who planned to end her pregnancy but chose life after visiting a preborn center. Preborn steps into the lives of hurting young women who are being told that a preborn baby is not a life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct answer to Planned Parenthood, helping young moms choose life.
I feel like it was meant for me to have this baby. This is something God gave me for a reason.
You can be a part of choosing life with young hurting women across the country. Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today to help save 400 babies by the end of 2019. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help save 5 babies from abortion. And now, through a match, your gift of $140 will actually help save 10 babies instead of 5. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. We are back. This hour of Janet Mefford Today is brought to you by TriStar Pictures, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, based on the true story. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reese, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters November 22nd. Peter LaBarber from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is with us. AmericansForTruth.com is his website. And we're talking about a lot of these issues related to the capitulation on the culture war regarding homosexuality and transgender issues and all of these things that are only going to become a bigger issue heading into the next few years as we go into the presidential election. One of the hot stories, though, right now, Peter, is one I want to get your take on. There is a 7-year-old boy, just to bring people up to speed, by the name of James Younger. He is in Texas. His parents are getting a divorce. They're going through a custody battle. The mom is a pediatrician, and she is all for doing a gender transition for this 7-year-old boy. She says his name is really Luna, and she puts him in dresses and she puts nail polish on his fingers. And this is from the boy's mouth himself, because there was a video of him put out online where he said all this. But the father is fighting this tooth and nail. He has said the little boy acts like a little boy 100%, dresses like a little boy 100% when he's in the custody of his father. So there's been this big court battle. But what's interesting about it, Peter, to me, is how this case really seems to be bugging people. It really seems to be getting people's attention. And now you have in 3 states, Georgia, Texas, and Kentucky, lawmakers who are saying, we're going to introduce legislation that will ban anybody from doing any kind of gender transition care, if you want to call it that way, you know, castration chemically or, you know, any of these kind of hormonal treatments on anybody under the age of 18. How do you see this case in terms of you know, maybe being a little bit of a turning point and getting people to wake up like this movement is out of control. This has gone too far. We're going to fight back. Or do you think people are just going to look for a minute and then forget about it in 5 minutes?
No, I think this is a turning point, because people are just outraged at the idea of manipulating these children into thinking that reality no longer applies to their life and they can become the opposite sex. And I don't know what's wrong with this mom and countless moms and dads who are buying into this transgender ideology,
yep.
which is insane, by
it
the
is.
Way.
It is.
I was reading a book about transgenderism and health, and it was talking about delaying puberty through these hormones. And think about that, Janet. In the old days, or the common sense days, parents might be worried if, oh, little Johnny is shorter than all the other kids.
Right.
He's not growing fast enough. Now we have parents who are willingly delaying the development of their children because they want to see if it might fit the opposite sex, even if it means long-term health effects on these children. For example, possible sterility, not developing into their full, what their normal development would have been. This is insanity, and yet our elites, our liberal elites, are embracing it, and the media, the mainstream media, is sitting by and egging it on.
It's child abuse, flat out. I'm watching the situation from this mother, and perhaps she is just so brainwashed, but she's a pediatrician. She understands biology, and putting ideology over biology and doing it to your own child is child abuse. I thought, why does this mother have custody of this child at all? And that's another front, isn't it, in family court, and whether or not parents who are like this, you know, they're punishing the parents and the grandparents, I know, in court, who want to protect children from this. And they're giving custody to those who want to transition them. So even the courts now are a big problem.
Oh, yeah, because the courts are so dominated by homosexual and transgender activists. But, you know, think about it. The same movement, this is the LGBTQ lobby, which crusades against parents who may want to take their child, say they have a boy who was molested by a homosexual man, and they want to take him to maybe a secular pro-heterosexual therapist, you know, maybe a Christian therapist, God forbid, and hey, I don't want my boy who was abused to think he's gay because of this sexual abuse.
Right.
The homosexual lobby is deathly opposed to that. And yet you know that they will fight tooth and nail for parents to subject their children to what you're calling child abuse, this transgender child abuse of thinking they can change their body to the... And who knows what, for this boy, this younger boy, Janet, what does this mean if he ends up transitioning? Does this mean he could have his body, you know, go through these awful operations, what, at age 16, at age 18? We've seen underage girls. In Chicago, there was an underage girl, a 16-year-old girl,
yes.
who had her healthy breasts removed by a surgeon because she thought she wanted to be a man.
And how
That's
many
already happening? I think yep. it should be banned. I'm totally
with
the legislators.
Yeah. How many lawsuits are there going to be in about 10 or 20 years? When these kids grow up and say to all of the adults around them in the medical profession, in the therapy field, and to their own parents and say, why did you allow me to do this? I was a kid. I didn't know any better. Why didn't you guide me properly? Why didn't you get me the mental health help that I needed? Why in the world? You know what I mean? Like, don't you think that these kids at some point are going to turn on the people who forced them into this?
I hope so. And also, I hope potential legislation goes forward, because you know that I would suspect anyway that groups like the ACLU will work with the LGBTQ activists. And all of a sudden, when they'll be standing up for parental rights, right?
Mm.
I stand up for the parental rights of parents who want to guide their children to their correct gender. The same groups which are against parental rights for parents who want to help their child, for example, a child who was homosexually abused by a predator, to go to pro-heterosexual change therapy, which is banned in, what, how many states now, Janet? Like
18.
Yeah. You know, the same groups that are against parental rights for that will be for the parentals, for parents who want to basically abuse their children by allowing them to pursue this crazy sex gender transition, which is actually does not comport with reality.
Well, some parental rights are more equal than others. You just got to keep that in mind. Well, you know, going back to the issue of the culture war, as we're kind of coming down to the last few minutes, you have been a culture warrior for many years, Peter. You were one of the most adamant activists I've ever met. I admire you tremendously because you have a kind of fortitude to just keep pressing forward regardless of what happens. But how do you see things with your activist experience as we move forward into the next couple of years? What the church needs to be doing right now, where we need to put our attention, what we need to be doing, not only legislatively, but really as Christians on our knees, what should we be praying for? How should we be realigning our lives to be in line with God's word? What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I hope that the church really approaches this with some maturity. You see some churchmen now saying, well, you know, this is just one of many sins, and they really sort of downplaying it, not understanding that on this particular issue, we're dealing with a huge lobby group, essentially a well-funded sin movement,
sure,
led by the Human Rights Campaign, which is trying to override biblical morality, not just that, but our freedom to defend it in the public square, and they're winning. And so that will, all, of course, have an impact on the gospel, because it's about basically banning people from their right to proclaim and defend truth. Mm. And so I would hope that more Christians would say, look, I'm going to stand with God, even if it's very difficult at times,
yep,
instead of finding a way to cop out. Because, you know, we've both talked about so many people, including a lot of Christians, they look for ways to just sort of avoid this battle. And rather than say, look, there's a huge lobby on the other side, on the side of the anti-God, the side of sin, you know, trying to tell us that a boy can become a girl, really, I'm going to stand with the truth side against, yep, that movement. And I hope that and pray that we would rebound and there would be a strong and growing movement on that side, just like there's a strong and growing movement on the side of defending unborn children from the abortion movement.
Yeah, that's really good. You brought up a really important point as well, which is the fact that this will affect our freedom. This will affect our ability to share the gospel and to be able to really enjoy our First Amendment rights. And I don't think most Christians grasp that, because most Christians are not Jack Phillips or Baron L. Stutzman or Aaron and Melissa Klein. They hear about them, but it's distant and it's removed from them personally. But when this movement will find you, that's what I try to tell people. You can try to hide in your closet or hide in your bathroom and pretend it's not happening and turn on Netflix and act as if it's not going on, but it will find you, because if the Equality Act actually makes it all the way, and I believe it will, it is going to change everything for the church, everything. And I don't think people see that coming, but it is important, I think, for us as Christians, Peter, to get ready now to say, are you on the Lord's side or are you not? Are you going to be with the world or are you going to be with the Lord? And it's really that stark. Are you going to obey God Almighty? Are you going to hate sin as he hates sin, but also reach out loving your neighbor as yourself and sharing the gospel with people who desperately need to hear it, but refuse to compromise on truth? That's what we have to decide if we're going to press forward in this culture war, because we're involved in a lot more than a culture war. We're involved in an Ephesians 6 war, and we know who wins in the end. Well, check out Americans for Truth about homosexuality at AmericansForTruth.com. My friend Peter LaBarbera with us. Always a joy to have you. Peter, thanks a lot again for being with us.
Thank you, and God bless you, Janet.
God bless you, too. Take care. All right, that will do it for us. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here on Janet Mefford Today.